Welcome everybody. We begin today Be'ezir Hashem Yisbarach B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, a new class in the Rambam's monumental primary work of Halacha, Mishneh Torah Yad HaChazaka of Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. Before we actually begin, and we'll begin with the Rambam's introduction to his Mishneh Torah, which is an incredible and vital introduction to understand the world of Torah and the world of Halacha, let me just give a few remarks of the biography of the Rambam. Some historical details which I think are very worth knowing before we start learning Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. The Rambam was born on Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, in the year 1135. Some say it was a few years later, 1138, but approximately the year 1135, he was born in Cordoba, in the city of Cordoba, Spain. His father's name was Maimon, that's why he's called Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, or Maimonides in English. Rambam is Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. His father, Rabbeinu Maimon, Reb Maimon, was a judge. He was a dayan in Cordoba. And the Rambam grew up in that Spanish city. At around the age of Bar Mitzvah, there was a fanatical Islamic tribe, sect called Almohads. Almohads actually is a combination of two words, Almohad, Elokim Echad. And this was a group of Islamists who were determined to either convert the Jews to Islam or death. And they conquered Cordova, and the family of the Rambam was forced to escape. Thus began years of terrible agony, turmoil, and suffering in the life of the Rambam at a very young and tender age. The family escaped to southern Spain and then to Morocco. They lived in Fez, in the city of Fez, in Morocco, in North Africa. Then they left, they had to leave there. They left to Alexandria, to Egypt. They went to the Holy Land, to Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, the Rambam settled in Fustat, which is Old Cairo. In Egypt, Old Cairo was called then Fustat, and that's where he lived till the end of his life. The Rambam lived for 69 years. When the Rambam was around 23 years old, he was born 1135, so when he was around 23 years old, he began writing a commentary on the Mishnayos. It was written in Arabic, so that the Jews of the time should be able to understand. This was a monumental work. It took him a decade. And we have today the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam, which is an incredible commentary on all of the Shisha Sidri Mishnah, a beautiful commentary in the Rambam style on every single Mishnah. He completed it at approximately, he started at the age of 23, and it took him around 10 years. Later on in his life, the Rambam wrote some of his greater works. So if he was born 1135, the commentary on Mishnayos, he began, as I said, when he was around 23, so that would have been around between 1155 and 1160, because he was born 1135. Some years later, tragedy befell the Rambam. In a span of 2 years, he lost his father, he lost his wife, and he lost both of his sons. His mother died when he was a very young child, so he didn't grow up with a mother. The Rambam had a brother, Reb David, who was a diamond merchant. He would travel to India, and he supported the Rambam so that the Rambam can dedicate his time exclusively to learn, to teach, to write, and of course to study. Around the year 1170 or 1171, Reb David drowned in a shipwreck, one of his journeys to India or back, and it devastated the Rambam. After all the other devastations, a few years earlier, losing his whole family, now the death of his brother, who left a wife and orphans, fell on the Rambam. And that's when the Rambam went into the medical profession. And soon he was nominated by the Sultan of Egypt and Syria, Saladin, the famous Saladin, who appointed the Rambam as the chief physician of his court, which of course gave him a nice salary. He supported himself and he supported his brother, Reb David's family. Later the Rambam remarried. He had another child, the famous Rabbeinu Avraham ben HaRambam, who is the remaining child who survived the Rambam and wrote works of his own and was a great student and disciple of his great father, the Rambam. In approximately the year 11, 70, the Rambam began writing two works. One is Sefer HaMitzvos, a brief work, an encyclopedia of the 613 mitzvahs. But then he also began writing his monumental halachic work, which we'll begin learning, called Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. This took him around 10 years. It's the only work that the Rambam wrote in Lashon Kodesh. All of his other works, like the commentary on Mishnayos, Sefer HaMitzvahs, and his other works were written in Arabic. The one work that he wrote in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew is the Mishneh Torah Yad HaChazakah LaRambam, which we're going to address in a moment, what that Sefer is. It took him around 10 years. Later, the Rambam would write, when he was older, his famous philosophical magnum opus called Meirin Avuchim, The Guide to the Perplexed, which basically dealt with all many philosophical questions on Judaism and on Jewish theology. The Rambam there gives a comprehensive approach to Yiddishkeit from the Rambam's philosophical perspective. This is known as the Meirin Avuchim. The Mishneh Torah, the Sefer, the Rambam began writing approximately at the age of 35, because he was born 1135, 40, around 1170, around. At the age of 35, it took him 10 years, he finished in around 45. The Meirin Avuchim was written later. The Rambam also wrote many works in medicine. He was a great healer. I think the Rambam wrote approximately, it's assumed he wrote around 18 works on medicine. 18, including anatomy, pharmacology, dermatology, holistic medicine. Many works, which was incredible for a man of the 12th century. So you're dealing here with a person who wasn't only a genius par excellence, but also a person who encompassed all the streams of thought and brought them together, synthesized them in a comprehensive way. Also an extraordinary Jewish leader in his day, besides being a great philosopher and one of the greatest halachic authorities in the Jewish history, to the point that this Sefer is called probably the most seminal, or one of the most seminal, if not the most seminal work of halacha that was ever written in the history of the Jewish people. Which is why the Rambam Sefer still remains a timeless classic, even close to a millennium later. The Rambam passed away in Egypt on Chav Tevis, the 20th of Tevis, December 1204, at the age of 69, almost 70, and he was buried in the holy city of Tveria, in the Holy Land. That's where his coffin was taken, where the Rambam's grave is in Tveria, and engraved on the tombstone is, Mi Moshe v'ad Moshe l'kam k'Moshe. From Moshe till Moshe, there arose nobody like Moshe. Of course, referring to the fact that from the first Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moshe, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, Lekam Kamoshe, there was nobody like Moshe. Of course, also alluding to the fact that he named his Sefer Mishneh Torah, which means the second to Torah, which he's going to discuss in the introduction. So the Rambam passed away in the year 1204, Chav Tevis, December, and as I said, he's buried in Tveria. A few words about the Sefer Mishneh Torah, which the Rambam began at the age of 35, around 1170, and completed approximately in the year 1180. The uniqueness of this Sefer, among many others, but I'm going to bring out one point, is the structure and organization. Till the days of the Rambam, there was no work that created a system of halacha. If you learn Gemara, so basically you can have a Masechta Shabbos, the laws of Chanukah. A Masechta Menachos, the laws of Tefillin. It's not organized in a systematic way. In one Masech, you can have many, many other halachas. Plus, it's filled with debates and arguments and disputations and questions and answers. So you have Chumash, you have Tanakh, you have Mishnah, you have Talmud Bavli, you have Talmud Yerushalmi. You have all the Midrashim, like Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta. You have also the Psakim of the Ga'inim, that comes after the Gemara. And from all of that together, now you have to figure out halacha. But there's no system, there was no path, nothing was categorized and systemized and organized. The Rambam single-handedly took all of the literature of halacha, which means anything that is relevant to Jewish practice, of all the 630 mitzvahs of Torah, and he said, we're going to make a system. Where do you even begin? Where do you even begin? And the Rambam began and completed the work. And he divided all of Jewish law, Jewish life, halacha, into 14 books, 14 svarim. Mada, Ava, Zmanim, Noshim, Kedusha, Hafla, Zroim, Avoida, Karbonis, Tyra, Nezikin, Kinyan, Mishpatim, Shoiftim, which you will learn and become aware of. All of Allah, all of Jewish law, everything is in these 14 books, svarim. Mada is the book of knowledge. Book of knowledge. Ava, the book of love. Zmanim, times. Noshim, women. Kedusha, sanctity. Hafla is segregation. Zroyim, or hafla is promises, vows. Zroyim, agriculture. Avoida, service, karbonis, sacrifices, tara, purity. Nezikin, damages, kinyan, acquisition. Mishpatim, justice, civil law. Shoiftim, judges. If in each book, within each sefer, he created halachas. So, for example, in Zmanim, times, you'll have the laws of Shabbos. You'll have the laws of Yom Tov. You'll have the laws of Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav, Megillah, Chanukah. That belongs to times. In Ava, the book of love, you'll have the laws of reading Shema, the laws of Tefillah, the laws of Davening, the laws of Tefillin, the laws of Mezuzah. For the Rambam, it's all an expression of Ahava. In the book of Mada, the first one, you're going to have the laws of the fundamentals of Torah. Hilchis Deis, the laws of ethics, the laws of tshuva, the laws of Talmud Torah, laws of Avodah Zorah, of idolatry. That's the Sefer Amad. The book of Noshim, you can have all the laws of Ishus, all the laws connected to marriage, the laws connected to divorce, Gerushim, the laws connected to Yibum, a levirate marriage, if Chas V'Shalom, somebody dies without children, the halacha of his wife marrying her brother, the widow marrying the brother, if the husband died without children, or Chalitza. That would go into the category of Noshim. Something unique here is that the Rambam included all the halachas of Judaism that is our eternal. In Shulchan Aruch, you only have the halachas that are relevant today. For the Rambam, that distinction didn't exist. Every halacha that is connected to Judaism, even though it's not existent anymore because there's no Beis HaMikdash, the same seriousness, all the laws of purity and impurity, the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, building the Beis HaMikdash, all the laws of the sacrifices, the karbonis. The Rambam included all of halacha, including the halacha that are relevant to Mashiach's times. That he also includes at the end of his book, at the end of Shoiftim, he has Hilchis Malachim and Malacham Yisayim, Hilchis Malacham Mashiach, part of the laws of kings. So the Rambam included, therefore, all the 630 mitzvahs, that which was relevant to his day and that which was not practically relevant to his day. And that's why it became such a seminal work, because it encompassed the whole halachas of Torah. Somebody who learns through Rambam knows every single mitzvah of the Torah and all of its details as articulated in the Rambam in the systemized, organized way of the Rambam. So he has 14 books. In every single book, he has sections called halachas. Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Erevin, Hilchas Yom Tov, Hilchas Megillah v'Chanukah, Hilchas. He has 83 of such sections. In the 14 books, you have 83 halachas with 83 different themes that are dealt with. Hilchas Ishus is the laws of marriage. Hilchas Malva v'Loiva is the laws of a borrower, of a lender and a borrower. That belongs to where? That would be in the laws of Mishpatim. So you have 83 themes, 83 halachas in these 14 books, and each halacha is divided into chapters. You can have three chapters. You can have many chapters. And each chapter is divided into paragraphs, which we call halachas. That's the unique system that the Rambam created, written meticulously in a very clear language. And as you begin learning it, you begin to appreciate more and more. You start learning Rambam, you delve into Rambam, and you see the structure, the organization, how he deals with it, and you really get to master in a certain way Kol HaTorah Kula, because he includes Kol HaTorah Kula, not all the pilpul and the questions and the answers and all that. That's Gemara. But in terms of the conclusions of the Rambam and everything that relates to every single mitzvah of the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah and the halach. Okay, I think this is enough for today's introduction. And let's actually begin inside. Now, a lot of people learn Rambam, but they skip the introduction of the Rambam, and that's a big mistake, because this introduction is so important, it's so priceless for every student of Torah to know. Every yeshiva, every school has to learn this introduction of the Rambam. Introduction to this, and especially in addition to that, is Rambam's introduction to Mishnayos. That's a very long and elaborate introduction, which is also critical to understand the development of Judaism and halacha throughout the ages. Here, the Rambam does it in a more brief and concise and summarized way, different than his introduction to Mishnayos. It's two very different introductions. That's much, much longer. This is much shorter. But this is a critical introduction, not only to understand the Rambam and his work, but also to give you a perspective about how halacha developed, which I find is so lacking today by a lot of people. They don't realize the meticulousness, the integrity, the authenticity, the precision of it, and so forth. Lamer Unhaven, let's begin. So please open up Hakdama of the Rambam. He always begins with a pasuk, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam, in the name of Hashem, the God of eternity. It's not in all the prints of the Rambam, but in the old manuscripts, the Rambam starts with that pasuk, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam, and then he opens up with this fascinating pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Ozlei Oivrish Ba'biti Al Kol Mitzvesach. Then I will not be ashamed when I gaze at all of your mitzvahs. So his introduction to the book that covers all the mitzvahs is that verse in Tehillim, I will not be ashamed when I can look at all your mitzvahs. Ba'biti al kol mitzvesach. Says the Rambam, kol ha-mitzvahs shenitnu lo Moshe b'Sinai b'firusha nitnu. All the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai were given with their commentary, with their detailed explanations. Hashem didn't just list 613 mitzvahs to Moshe. He also, every mitzvah came with a pirush, an elaboration, what it means, how do you do it? Because if you read the text itself, it says about tefillin, about sukkah. You should sit in a sukkah for 7 days. What does that sukkah look like? Does it have a roof? Is it a kazeba? Can it be in a glass roof? What does it, sit 7 days in a sukkah? Or it says, for 7 days, you should look after Muhammad. On the first day of sukkahs, you should take a beautiful fruit. So what's a beautiful fruit? Is it, should I bring a cherry? Is it a watermelon? What's a beautiful fruit? An apple is a nice fruit. An orange is a nice fruit. Priyetzot. Or it says you should tie something on your hand or you should put it between your eyes. What does that mean? So the Rambam says, all the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe by Sinai were given with commentary, with elucidation, with explanation. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'etne l'chas luchos ha'evin v'atayrav ha'mitzvah. Hashem says to Moshe, I will give you the luchos ha'evin, the tablets of stone, and the Torah and the mitzvah. Zog diramim, Torah is a Torah shebiksav, v'ha'mitzvah zu pirusha. I will give you the Torah and the mitzvah, Torah is a Torah shebiksav, the text of the Chumash, the five books of Chamisha Chumshe Torah. The mitzvah, what's the mitzvah? I will give you the Torah and the mitzvah. The Torah has the mitzvahs in it. I will give you the mitzvahs. That's the commentary of Torah, the explanation of what, which allows you to do the mitzvahs, because if you don't understand what it is, you can't do it. V'tzivonu lasas ha-Torah al-pi ha-mitzvah, u'mitzvah zu e'nikras Torah shav'al-peh. And he commanded us to follow the Torah based on the mitzvah, meaning, I'm giving you the Torah and the mitzvah, I'm giving you the chumash, the chumash al-chumash al-Torah shav'al-peh, and the mitzvah. So you should follow the Torah based on the mitzvah. You should follow the mitzvahs based on the interpretation of what they mean. And this mitzvah is what we call Torah shav'al-peh, which literally means the oral tradition. The reason it's oral is Baal Peh. Baal Peh means it comes from the mouth. It's not written because Moshe didn't write it down. He taught it, as he will explain. Kol ha-Torah kasva Moshe Rabbeinu kaidim sheyamos b'ksav yadoi v'nosan sefer l'chol shevet v'shevet. The entire Torah, from Bereshis till the end of Sefer Dvarim, Leinei Kol Yisrael, says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it before he passed away. He wrote it with his hand. And he gave one Sefer Torah to each of the Shvatim, to each of the tribes of Israel. The Sefer Echad Nisano Ba'arin La'ed. And a 13th one Sefer he placed in the Ark, in the Mishkan, the Arin, as a witness, as a testimony. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Dvarim Lamed Aleph, at the end of Chumash, L'koyach HaSefer HaTorah Azev, V'samtem Moisev Hoyosham B'chol La'ed. Take the Sefer Torah, place it in the Arin, and let it serve there as an aid, as a testimony to what the Torah is and what the Jewish people are and what the role of the Jewish people in the world is. This was a Sefer Torah that remained there. It remained there. It remained there for generations until the Aron was concealed. Much later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, 150 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's almost 1,000 years after Moshe Rabbeinu, you still had the Sefer Torah in the Aron, and you have to understand what that means. There was a manuscript that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and it remained hundreds of years. So this was like an aid, a testimony, that Jewish history wasn't just invented in a vacuum. There's an unbroken chain that begins with Moshe, and this is the aid, the witness that the Sefer Torah represents, and it remains in the Aron with the Jews. They take it to Eretz Yisrael. It's in the Mishkan later, and it goes into the first Beis HaMikdash. V'amitzvah shepirush haTorah lo kasla. The mitzvah, which is the commentary on Torah, the explanation of Torah, that Moshe did not write. So how is anybody going to know that? He communicated it to the elders, to Yehoshua, his student, and to all of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, everything that I command you to do, you should do. You should preserve, you should protect. What is it that I'm commanding you? It's basically, the Rambam says, that's all the oral communication, the explanation of Torah. That's why it's called Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah that was communicated orally because Moshe did not transcribe it. Even though it was not written, Limda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula, Beveiz Dino, L'Shivim Skein. Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of it in his court, in his Beis Din, the 70 elders. The Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people, numbered 71 from the days of Moshe. Moshe was the leader, but he had 70 skenim with him, as discussed in Parshas Baalei Yischa. So the Rambam says he taught it to all of them. Ve'elazar u'Pinchas v'Yeshua shloshtem kiblu m'Moshe. Elazar, who was the son of Aaron, Moshe's nephew, Pinchas, who was Moshe's great nephew, who was the son of Elazar, and Yehoshua, who was Moshe's faithful student, all of them, those three, received the whole Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe Rabbeinu. They were the great disciples, even though he taught it to everybody. But these three received from Moshe, Ulo Yeshua, Shu Talmidei Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, Masar Torah Shebaal Peh V'Tzivao Olam. Yeshua, who was the unique disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, his successor, his disciple, to him Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Torah Shebaal Peh, and he commanded him, he instructed him to take authority, to be in charge, to hold on to that tradition and transmit it. Yehoshua, his whole life, he continued to teach the Torah orally, everything that he learned from Moshe. Many elders learned from Yehoshua, they received from Yehoshua. Eli, who would become a Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan and Shiloh, he received the tradition of Torah Rabbah from the elders, who heard it from Yehoshua, and also from Pinchas, who was one of the disciples of Moshe himself. Ushmuel kibul me Eli ubeis dina. Shmuel Anavi, who grew up by the Mishkan by Eli, Chana's son, Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel is receiving the Torah Shebaal Peh from Eli and Eli's Bezdin, Eli's court, because the institution of Bezdin of Sanhedrin continues in every generation. So Shmuel, who's later Shmuel Anavi, he receives it from Eli, who received it from Pinchas, who received it from Moshe, and also received it from the elders, who received it from Yeshua, who received it from Moshe. The David kibul me Shmuel ubeis dina. David, who later would become David the king, he receives Torah Shebaal Peh from Shmuel and Shmuel's court, Shmuel's Bezdin. You see, the Rambam says it's not only from Shmuel, it's Shmuel's Bezdin. As the Rambam writes in one of his letters that he wrote this, because he wanted to bring out there was no one person. There was always a rabbi. There were many students. There was a whole Bezdin, 71 people, and David received it from Shmuel and Shmuel's Bezdin. Achia HaShiloini, man named Achia HaShiloini, Miyotze Mitzrayim Hayav Levi Hayav Shama Mimosha. Achia Shiloni is a unique phenomenon in Jewish history. He left Egypt. He was a Levi. He still heard from Moshe Rabbeinu because he was one of the Jews who left Egypt. And he was blessed with a unique supernatural longevity to the point that he was a child in times of Moshe. But he survived all the way down to David, and he received from David and his court Achia Shiloni. The Ravid here, Rabbeinu Avraham ben David, will have an opportunity to discuss the Ravid's commentary on the Rambam and his arguments. He doesn't accept it. He accepted from David and Beis Din Evu Kibul Medav. He was part of David's Beis Din, not Kibul, because Achia Shiloni is older than David. Achia Shiloni is from the days of Moshe. Ve'Eliyahu Kibul Me'Achia Shiloni Beis Din. We're now going to go through the generation. Eliyahu, of course, Eliyahu Anavi received the Torah Shebaal Peh from Achia Shiloni and his court, because Achia Shiloni received from David and his court. Ve'elisha kibam Elio obeys dina. Elisha received Tereshu Abef Melio and Hisko. Ve'yayada ha'koyen kibam Elisha obeys dina. The next generation you have Yehayada the Koyen receives from Elisha and Hisko. Uscharya kibam Yehayada obeys dina. Uscharya gets it from Yehayada and Hisbeth. Ve'yishaya kibam Uscharya obeys dina. The famous Hosea, who is later a prophet, right? Hosea Hanavi, one of the books of the Tanakh is Isaiah. Hosea, he received from Uscharya. Ve'amos kibam Hosea obeys dina. Ve'yishaya. Yeshaya kibel me amos obeys dina. Micha. Micha kibel me Yeshaya obeys dina. V'yoyel, Yoyel kibel me Micha obeys dina. V'nachum kibel me Yoyel obeys dina. These are all known as the Trei Aser. These are the prophets. You have them in the Tanakh. You have Hosea and Yoyel and Amos and Micha and Chavakuk. V'chavaka kibel me Nachum obeys dina. U'tzvayne kibel me Chavakuk obeys dina. Yirmiya is very known as Yirmiya. Novi kibel me Tzvayne obeys dina. He received from Tzvayne and Hiskot. U'boruch ben Eiriya. Baruch ben Neriya was a student of Yirmiya. Kibel mi Yirmiya beis dinai. He received from Yirmiya and his bezdin. And here I'm going to add in parentheses, these two people witnessed the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So we just went through hundreds of years from Moshe Rabbeinu till the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and didn't take them into Eretz Yisrael. But 40 years later, Yehoshua, who we learned about, took them into Eretz Yisrael. It took around 440 years to building of the first Beis HaMikdash, which stood for 410 years. So that means around 800, a little more than 800 years, more than around 850 years after entering into Eretz Yisrael, the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed in the presence of Yirmiya and Baruch ben Eriya. And after Yirmiya died, Baruch ben Eriya went to Babylonia, present-day Iraq, where he taught the Jews who were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. So we just went through hundreds of years from Yeshua, from Moshe and Yeshua, all the way down to Yirmiya and Baruch ben Neriya, who received the Torah Shabbat Peh from Yirmiya and his court. The Ezra obeys Dinai, Ezra and his Bezdin, Kiblu mi Baruch ben Neriya obeys Dinai. Ezra is, of course, the one who is involved in rebuilding the community in Eretz Yisrael with the second Beis HaMikdash, after the Babylonian exile. Ezra and his court received in Babylonia yet from Baruch ben Neriya and his court. Beis Dinai shall Ezra menekraim anshe knesses hagdoyla. You see, you get here a scan, a bird's eye view of Jewish history's development. That's why it's so important. The court of Ezra, those who are called Anshe Knesset HaGedola, literally means the men of the great gathering, of the great assembly. This is the Bezdin of Ezra. These are Ezra's Torah colleagues, the spiritual leaders and ears of Torah Shebaal Peh, that generation. Vehein, who are they? The Rambam gives us names. Chagai, Scharia, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah ben Chachlaya, Mordechai Bilshan. Number 9 is Mordechai. We all know Mordechai from the story of Purim. Uzru Bavel, that's the 10th. The Rambam just named 10 people on the Bezdin of Ezra who were part of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. V'har bechachamim imam. It was all, not only 10. It was many sages ad tashlum meyev estrim skena. It actually made up the number of 120 elders and sages who made up the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. That's why the number is 120 Anshe Knesset HaGedola. And this was all the Bezdin of Ezra HaSofer, who received from Baruch ben Neriya, who received from Yirmiya, and all the way back, who received from Tzvanya, etc. The last one to survive, who Shimon HaTzadik. You remember in the beginning of Pirkei Avos? Shimon HaTzadik Hoya, Mishiorei Knesset HaGedola. That's what the Rambam says. So in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, you have Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, right? Mesora Lo Yeshua, Yeshua Leskenim, Skenim Neviim, Neviim Lanshe Knesset HaGedola. So over there, it's one line. Here you have the detailed transmission of Torah all the way down to the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. And the last one is Shimon HaTzadik, who Hoya Miklal Meya Be'Estrim. He was in the group of the 120. The Kibel Torah Shabbat Pem Mikula. He received Torah Shabbat Pem from all of them, all the 119 sages. Shimon HaTzadik learned from them, Vuhoya Koyen Gadol Acher Ezra. He was the high priest in the second Beis HaMikdash, following Ezra, who was also a Koyen. So after Ezra came Shimon HaTzadik, and we know the Gemara tells us in Yuma that Shimon HaTzadik was a Koyen Gadol for 40 years. That's a long time. Next, Antignois Ish Soichoi Ubeis Dinoi Kiblu Mishimon HaTzadik Ubeis Dinoi. Antignois, the man of Soichoi and his Beis Din, received from Shimon HaTzadik and his Beis Din. So now we graduated from Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and we go into the next generation, Antigonus. Next, V'yoyse ben Yezir, Yishtei de V'yoyse ben Yechon and Yishir Shalayim u'beis dinam, Kibulum Antigonus u'beis dinam. Yoyse, the son of Yezir, who comes from a place called Sreda, and Yoyse, the son of Yechonon, who comes from Yerushalayim, they receive with their Bezdin, they and their Bezdin receive from Antigonus and their Bezdin. And here begins a new era in Jewish history. I'm just going to mention this in parentheses, called the Zugois, the peers. These are the great leaders and Talmidei Chachamim during the second Beis HaMikdash. Remember, Ezra comes and rebuilds the second Beis HaMikdash, so now we're in the second Beis HaMikdash, and we have the Zugois. We have Jewish world is led by peers of two people. One is the Nasi, one is the Av Beis Din. The first is Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. Next, Yeshua ben Prachya ben Nitai Har Beilik, Beis Din, Kibulim Yosef, Yosef ben Beis Din. Yeshua, the son of Prachya and Nitai Har Beili, and their court received from Yosef ben Yezer Ishtreide, and Yosef ben Yochanan from Yerushalayim, and their court. Yehuda ben Taba, Yeshua ben Shatach, Beis Dinam, Kibulim Yeshua ben Nitai, Beis Dinam. Shmaya v'Avtalion Geire Hatzedeku Beis Dinam Kibulim Yehuda v'Shimonu Beis Dinam. Shmaya and Avtalion are both converts. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles who converted, and they received together with their court from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach and their court. It's interesting that the Rambam introduces the fact that they were Geire Hatzedek. They were converts. Some of the commentators struggle. Why does the Rambam have to put this in? Why does the Rambam have to put in Geire Hatzedek L'mayin Avkamina? I don't know the reason for it. Perhaps, maybe, on one level, the Rambam is also teaching us something. That the tradition of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Messiah that goes from Moshe Rabbeinu till today, till the Rambam and till today, goes through Shmaya and Avtalion, who were not born Jewish, were Gadim. Here you see the Jewish approach to people who are not necessarily born Jews, but this respect, the sensitivity, because it's about truth, it's about integrity, it's about authenticity. It's not about nepotism and, you know, elitism, etc. So the Rambam introduces that an indispensable part of our tradition are Geiri HaTzedek. Next, Hillel v'Shammai, u'beis dinam kibul mishmai v'talim bezdin. We're now getting close to the end of Bayesheni. Hillel and Shammai live around 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. They receive from Shmaya and Avtalion and their court. That's Hillel and Shammai from Shmaya and Avtalion, the two Geirim. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, Reb Shimon ben Oishel Hillel Azok and Kiblu Mehillel Beis Dinah. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai and Reb Shimon, who is the son of Hillel, the elder Hillel, receive from Hillel and his court. And here we have to mention something. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one who observes the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. I told you before that Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neriah observed the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai observes the second Beis HaMikdash destruction. So we now went through the era of the Messiah through Bayis Sheni. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the students of Hillel HaZaken, as the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, together with Reb Shimon, who was a son of Hillel, and they received from Hillel and his court. And we say Bezdin, it means it wasn't only Hillel. Hillel had a whole Bezdin. 71 people. Chamisha Talmidim Hoyle, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, Vem Delech HaChamusha Kiblu Mimenu. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was Hillel's student, had five disciples, and they are the great sages who received from Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Eluhem. Here we go. Mentioned in Pirkei Avos. Reb Eliezer HaGadol, the great Rabbi Eliezer, Reb Eliezer ben Hurkanus, Reb Eliezer HaGadol. Next, Rabbi Yeshua. Third, Reb Yosi HaKoyen. Fourth, Reb Shimon ben Asanel. Five, Reb Elazar ben Arach. These are the great sages who received Torah Shabbat Peh from Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, who received it from Hillel and his court, who received it from Shmaya and Avtalion and their court and back. Next, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva, the son of Yosef, kibel me Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He was the disciple who received Torah Shabbat Peh from his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer the Great. Of course, we are now in the era post-Churban Bayesheni, because these are the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who gives the Torah Shabbat Peh to Rabbi Akiva, who of course was murdered by the Romans during the Bar Kochba revolt, around 65 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef received Torah Shabbat Peh from Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, v'Yosef Aviv Geir Tzedekaya. Says the Rambam, Yosef, Akiva's father, was also a Ger. He was a Ger Tzedek, he was a just convert from the non-Jewish world who became a Jew. So Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Ger, which is incredible. Now you have Rabbi Shmuel, Reb Meir, Ben Ger Tzedek, Kiblu Maria Bakiv. Whenever the Rambam can, he puts in if the person was a Ger or the son of a Ger. So you have Bishmal, you have Reb Meir, who was the son of a Ger Tzedek, just like Reb Akiva was the son of a Ger, Meir was the son of a Ger, they all received Torah Shabbat from Reb Akiva. Reb Yishmael and Reb Meir. The Gam Kibbul Reb Meir v'chaved of Reb Yishmael. Reb Meir and his colleagues also received Torah Shavapa from Reb Yishmael. So Reb Meir received directly from Reb Akiva, but he also received it from his colleague, Reb Yishmael, who was also a student of Reb Akiva. Chaved of Reb Meir. Who are the colleagues of Reb Meir who received the Torah from Rabbi Yishmael? Who received it from Reb Akiva? So here we go. Rabbi Yehuda. You have Rabbi Yehuda, you have Reb Yossi, you have Reb Shimon, you have Reb Nechemiah, and you have Reb Elazar ben Shamua, you have Reb Yochanan and Hasandler, Shimon ben Azai, Reb Chanina, Reb Chananya ben Tradyan. Reb Chananya ben Tradyan. These are all the colleagues of Reb Meir, who, as the Rambam said, received Torah Shabbat Peh from Reb Yishmael, who received it from Rabbi Akiva, who received it from Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, who received it from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who received it from Hillel, and Hillel v'Shammai received it from Shmaya and Avtalia. So these are the colleagues of Rabbi Meir. So when you sometimes see in Mishnah all these names, you see the name of Rabbi Elazar, you see the name of Rabbi Akiva, you see the name of Rabbi Yishmael, you see the name of Rabbi Meir, who was students of Rabbi Akiva, you see the friends of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Shimon ben Azai, Ben Azai, and Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyan. Interesting to note, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyan was a father-in-law of Rabbi Meir. The Rambam calls him a colleague of Rabbi Meir, but he was also a father-in-law of Rabbi Meir because Bruria was Reb Meir's wife, and Reb Chananya ben Tradyan was Bruria's father. There's a whole Gemara about that in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches. Reb Chananya ben Tradyan was also murdered by the Romans. He was burnt alive, as the Gemara tells the story in Avodah Zarah. Also, Reb Akiva had colleagues. They also received Torah Shabbat from Reb Elazar HaGadol. Who are the Chaver of Reb Akiva? Hey, Reb Tarfon. Rabbi Shalab Yosef Aglili, who was also the Rebbe of Yosef Aglili. Next, Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon, the son of Elazar. Reb Yochanan ben Nuri. And Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, these are the Chavedim of Rabbi Akiva, who were all disciples of Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol. Says the Rambam, Rebbe Gamliel HaZokit. There was a man named Rebbe Gamliel the Elder. Kibel mid Reb Shimon of Ibnash Lil HaZokit. He received Tarei Rabbah from Shimon, his father, the son of Hillel HaZokit. Remember, we learned that Hillel HaZokit gave Torah Shabbat Peh to Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. He also gave Torah Shabbat Peh to his son Reb Shimon. So the Rambam says Reb Shimon had a son, Reb Gamliel Azokin, the elder Reb Gamliel. He was a grandson of Hillel. He received Torah Shabbat Peh from his father Reb Shimon, who received it from his Zayde, from his father Hillel. So Reb Gamliel Azokin is parallel to, you have Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai's students who received it from Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, received it from Hillel, and you have Reb Shimon who received it from Reb Hillel, and he gave it over to his son Reb Gamliel HaZokin. Now this chain continues. Reb Shimon benoi kibel mimenu. Reb Gamliel had a son who he named Shimon, I guess after his father. He received it from his father, from Reb Gamliel, who received it from his father. Reb Shimon, who received it from his father, the Hillel, the original Hillel. Reb Gamliel benoi kibel mimenu. Reb Gamliel, the son of Reb Shimon, the son of Reb Gamliel Azokin, received it from his father. Reb Shimon benoi, his son Reb Shimon, kibul mimenu. Reb Yehuda benoi shel Reb Shimon. Now you have Reb Yehuda, the son of Shimon, zehu anikra Rabbeinu HaKadosh. This is the man we call Rabbeinu HaKadosh, our holy teacher, who kibul me aviv, umi Reb Elazar ben Shamua, umi Reb Shimon chaverev. And he, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, received Torah Shabbat Peh from his father, Reb Shimon, and from Reb Elazar ben Shamua, who we mentioned before, Reb Elazar ben Shamua, was one of the colleagues of Reb Meir, who received from Rabbi Akiva, and also from Reb Shimon, who we mentioned earlier as well. Reb Shimon, as one of the colleagues of Reb Meir, who also received Torah from Rabbi Akiva, we know Reb Shimon ben Yochai, of course, was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So let's go through this chain. We have Hillel. Hillel has a son, Reb Shimon, who he gave Torah Shabbat Peh. Reb Shimon has a son, Reb Gamliel. Reb Gamliel HaZokin. Reb Gamliel has a son, Reb Shimon. He gives it over to him. He has a son, Reb Gamliel. This is the second Reb Gamliel. The second Reb Gamliel. He's known as Reb Gamliel the Yavne. This is not Reb Gamliel who's a grandson of Hillel, but this is the next generation, because you have Hillel, you have Shimon, you have Reb Gamliel HaZokin, you have another Reb Shimon, you have a Reb Gamliel, and then you have the Reb Shimon, who's a son of the second Reb Gamliel, and he has a son, Yehuda, and we all know him, Reb Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, our holy Rebbe. He has a special name, we'll soon see why. He is, therefore, from that dynasty of Hillel who received the Torah from his father, but not only from his father, from Elazar ben Shammua, from Reb Shimon, who all received from Reb Meir, Reb Yishmael, Reb Akiva, Reb Elazar HaGadol, Reb Yechida ben Zakkai. So there is a Messiah that spreads around, a lot of cross-pollination here. One more piece here. Says the Rambam. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chibur HaMishnah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi composed the Mishnayos. Umi Mois Moshe Rabbeinu Vad Rabbeinu HaKadosh Lechibru Chibur Shemalam Ninoisim Rabbeinu Teresh HaBaal Peh. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, they did not make a work that they taught publicly Teresh HaBaal Peh. There was no compilation, no written work of Teresh HaBaal Peh. Ella, b'chol dar v'dar reish bezdin o'inavi shayya b'aysi adar k'aysav la'atzum e'zuchin ha'shmul sh'shamam e'rabaysav v'melamed al peh. How do they remember? In every generation, the head of the bezdin, the head of the court, or the prophet of that generation, writes for himself notes to remember all the teachings that he heard from his teachings, and he teaches it verbally to the community, to the public. But there's no officially documented work with all of this. This is something that he remembers, he retains, and he has notes for himself. Every Navi and Nasi in his generation, every head of Bezdin, that's his responsibility. And every person, every student, if I'm sitting at the shir, I can have my little papyrus notebook and take notes. Everybody writes for himself according to his capacity, the explanation of Torah, the laws of Torah, the way he heard it from his Rebbe. They write down something else. Ideas that were innovated in every generation with halacha, halachas that were not heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, they were deduced from the 13 formulas that Moshe gave the Jewish people how to interpret it, because there's so many new situations that come up. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jews Shloish Esri Midas, which means the methods of how to interpret Torah, how to take out from the text of Torah all different applications to new situations. Those are called the Shloish Esri Midas. And it has to go to a vote by the court. It has to go to a vote by the 71 people. And if they agree, the majority agree, this becomes the halacha. So the students would write that too. They would both write the traditions that were received and the new ideas that were developed throughout the generations. This consisted for hundreds of years till our holy Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who's living, of course, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, a few generations after. Rabbeinu HaKadosh compiles all the Shmuas, all the traditions that were given, all the laws, all the explanations, all the commentary that was heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Beis Din of every generation taught in the whole Torah, and he composes from everything the monumental work that we call Mishnah, Mishnayos. Of course, he divides it into six sections, Royim, Moyed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, and Taris. And what is this book? This book is basically attempting to make a brief and concise compilation of all the explanations and all the mitzvahs that were heard from Moshe Rabbeinu throughout all the generations of Torah Shabbat Paz. He says, all the halachas, all the dinim, and all the explanations. He taught it to the sages publicly. It became exposed and revealed. The manuscript was shared to everybody. Everybody copied it. There's no printing press. Manuscript. Everybody has to write it. And he spread it. He disseminated it everywhere. So that the Torah Shavah Peh should not be forgotten. Now you'll ask a question. Why did he do it? Why did he not leave it the way it always was? Why did he have to do this? Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh have to do this? Why didn't he just leave it as is? The answer is, he saw that the students are becoming diminished. Wow, the Rambam's vocabulary. Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw that the students are diminishing in every generation. The tsaras, the oppressions are becoming stronger and new ones constantly. And the Roman Empire is expanding, conquering the world and becoming stronger. And the Jewish people are being exiled and dispersed to the corners of the planet. And he realized we don't have the cohesiveness, the peace of mind, the infrastructure to be able to maintain the integrity of Judaism the way it was when the Jewish people were cohesive and they could maintain their lifestyle, their tradition in a vibrant and integrated and unified way. He realized it will all be lost. So what did he do? He makes one work, a written work, Mishnayos, for everybody. So everybody could learn it, and swiftly, it's not so hard to learn, and not forget it. All his days he sat with his court, his own Bezdin, and they taught the Mishnah to everybody. Who are the great sages in the Bezdin of Rabbeinu HaKadosh who received Torah Shebaal Peh from him? And remember, he received it from his father, Reb Shimon, received from his father, Reb Gamliel, from his father, Reb Shimon, from his father, Reb Gamliel, his father, Reb Shimon, from Hillel. Who are these people? Shimon v'Gamliel Bonov. He had two sons, Shimon and Gamliel, named, of course, after his ancestry. V'Reb Ephes, V'Reb Chanina ben Chama, V'Reb Chia, V'Rav, V'Reb Yanei, Bar Kaparu, Shmo, V'Reb Yechon, V'Reb Hoshia, Eloim Deila Chom Shekilu Menav Imam, Alofim U'Revavis Mishara Chachamim. These are the great sages who received from Reb Yehuda Anasi, together with thousands and myriads, tens of thousands of the other sages. How many people did he mention here? Shimon, Gamliel, Reb Ephes, Reb Chanina ben Chama, Reb Chia, Rav, the famous Rav, Reb Yanai, Bar Kapara, Shmuel, Reb Yochanan, and Reb Hoshea. 11 people. And here begins the transition from Tanoim to Amoraim. You see, we already had the transition from Beis HaMikdash to post-Beis HaMikdash. That was Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the next generation, Reb Elazar HaGadol, this is all post-Beis HaMikdash. Now is a new transition from Tanoim to Amoraim. Rav, Shmuel, Reb Yochanan, these are all people who sat with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and they begin the new generation from Tanoim to Amoraim. Here you see it happening. Even though these 11 all received from Rabbeinu HaKadosh and stood in his Beis Medrash, Reb Yochanan Katan Hoya. Reb Yochanan was still small. So afterwards, he becomes a student of Reb Yanai, who's one of the disciples of Rabbeinu, and he receives Torah from him. V'chein Rav kibal mi Reb Yanai. Rav, who was one of the students of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, also received Torah from Reb Yanai, who was a student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So they heard from Rabbeinu, but then they learned a lot from Reb Yanai, who was the next generation. U'Shmuel kibal mi Reb Chanina Bar Chama. Shmuel received from Reb Chanina Bar Chama. Rav, who is Rav? Rav Chibe, Rav composes Sifra, Sifri, Levayir Uloidia Ikriya Mishnah. He composes two seminal works. One is called Sifri, which is a Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. It's also known as Toiras Koyanim, composed by Rav. He also composes Sifri. Sifri is a Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim. Sifra and Sifri, Vayikra Midbar Dvarim, an oral tradition commentary on Vayikra Midbar Dvarim, was written by who? By Rav, who was a student of Reb Yanai and a student of Reb Yehuda Hanasi, and considered the first generation of Amoraim and one of the great sages of his time. Reb Chia, who was also a student of Rav, Chibur HaToisefta Levayin Yonei HaMishnah. He composes a work known as Toisefta. Toisefta means Toisvis. It's additional to the Mishnah, to explain the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is so concise. Reb Chia composes Toisefta. Next, V'chein Reb Hoshea Bar Kapara, Reb Hoshea Bar Kapara, who are both students of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the composer of Mishnah, Chibru Braises Levayin Divriya Mishnah. They compose works known as Braises. Braises means things from the outside. It never made it into the text of the Mishnah. So the Toisefta was written by Reb Chia, and the Braises by Reb Hoshea and Bar Kapara. The Maharik writes, what's the difference between Toisefta and Braises? So he says, Toisefta was written by Reb Chia in the presence and with the knowledge of Rabbeinu HaKadosh and in his Beis Medrash. The Braises are Bar Yesa. They came from outside. They were written by Reb Hoshea and Bar Kapara, not under the auspices of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it was outside of his Beis Medrash. That's the difference of Toisefta. Toisefta means in addition to the Mishnah, and Braises is outside of the Mishnah. Reb Yochanan, who is also a student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Reb Yanai, because remember, he was young, he was a minor, he was a katan by Rav, By Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Chibur Talmud Yerushalmi by Yisrael, HaKurban HaBayis B'Kiruv Shleish Me'ez Shana. He composed the Jerusalem Talmud, Talmud Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael, around 300 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. This is Rabbi Yochanan. When was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Around the year 70 after the Common Era. 70. Or in the Hebrew calendar, it would be 3,830 since creation. 3830. Some say 68, 69, but let's say 70. 300 years later, that means the Talmud Yerushalmi was written approximately in the year 370. The Rambam says approximately, so it could be a little later, around 400, 390, 380, 400, 410, but that's the time when Rabbi Yochanan composes the Talmud Yerushalmi, around 300 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So we now went already a few hundred years after Churban Bayis Sheni, which happened at the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and we went down to Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, and we went down to Rabbi Akiva, right? And we went down all the way here to Rabbeinu HaKadosh's student, Rabbi Yochanan, who lives much later, and he composes Talmud Yerushalmi. Some of the great sages who received from Rav and Shmuel, both students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who wrote the Mishnah. And Rav and Shmuel were also students of Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Hanina. Here are his students. We come now to the next generation of Amirayim. Now you know these names. Anybody who learned Gemara knows these names. But here we see how it works, how the chain works. You have Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Huna received from Rav and Shmuel. Next, Rav Yehuda. Next, Rav Nachman and Rav Kahana. What about those who heard from Rabbi Yochanan, the great sages who received Torah from Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan remains in Eretz Yisrael and he makes Talmud Yerushalmi. He has Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi the son of Bar Chana, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Dimi, Rabbi Ovin. Now let's go to the next generation. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda received from Rav and Shmuel. Who are the great sages who received Torah Shebaal Peh? Who are the sages who received Torah Shebaal Peh from Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? He says Miklah, which means some of them. He's not doing all of them, some of them. Rabba, the famous Rabba, and Rav Yosef. So you see now here you have the third generation of Amirayim, because you had Rav and Shmuel with the first generation. Rabbi Huna, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Kahana, according to the Rambam, received from Rav and Shmuel, they're the second generation of Amirayim. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is the next generation who received from Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, who received from Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was the famous student of Shmuel, as Rabbi Huna as well. We go now to the next generation. Who are some of the sages who received Torah Shebaal Peh from Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? Now, of course, the Mishnah is written already. But still, you need a teacher to teach, explain, enlighten, elucidate, and new situations are coming up. Abaye and Rava. The famous Abaye and Rava, who are quoted throughout the whole Talmud Bavli continuously. Abaye is the Abaye and Rava. They are the students of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Abaye was also raised by Rabbi, who was his uncle because he was an orphan, but Rava was also a student of Rabbi. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, of course, were students of Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, who were students of Rav and Shmuel, who were students directly of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnah. Ushneim kiblu gam meirav Nachman. Abaye and Rava were also students of Rabbi Nachman, who was already a colleague of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda of Huna Bunen and received directly from Rav and Shmuel. So they also heard directly from Nachman, not only Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, who are generation, who are the next generation, but they also got from Rabbi Nachman, who is straight from Rav and Shmuel, who came to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Some of the sages who received Torah Shebaal Peh from Rava, Rabbi Ashi and Ravina. Or Mar Rabashi, Kibbal me Aviv Rabashi and Ravina. Mar, the son of Rabashi, received from his father, Rabashi and Ravina, who received from Rava, who received from Rab Nachman and from Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, who go back to Rab Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, who go back to Rav and Shmuel, who go back to Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who goes back to his father, Rab Shimon, and Rab Loza ben Shamua, and Rab Shimon ben Yechai, et cetera, all the way back. Now, the Rambam makes a summation of everything he just said. And this is the last paragraph we're going to be learning today. We'll be mamish another few minutes. The Rambam now makes a whole summation because he wants you to know the names. And you'll understand soon why it's so important to know the names. Nimtza, what's the summation? May Reb Ashi ad Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Arboyim Doiris. From Reb Ashi, back up to Moshe, how many people did we go through? 40. It sounds fantastical, right? Because when is Reb Ashi living? Reb Ashi is the composer of Talmud Bavli. Reb Yochanan is Talmud Yerushalmi. That's before Talmud Bavli. Rashi was of Talmud Bavli. This is hundreds of years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So from Moshe Rabbeinu, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was around 900 years. And then you have another Beis HaMikdash and its destruction. So you're dealing with more than 1,500 years. So the Rambam says it's 40 people, 40 generations from Reb Ashi back to Moshe. And he goes, Ve'eluhein, and I'm going to read it swiftly. You already know all these names because we went downwards and now we go upwards. We climbed the ladder down from Moshe to Reb Ashi and now we're climbing back up in the reverse order. The Rambam goes both ways. And I want to leave you with this thought, why the Rambam feels the need to do it both ways. It's fascinating. Ve'eluhein, here we go. Okay. I'm going to read this fast. We're now going to go through 40 generations. Aleph. Reb Ashi mi Rav. Reb Ashi received Torah from Rav. Rav mi Rabba. Rabba mi Rav Huna. Right? Rabba, his Rebbe is Reb Huna. Reb Huna mi Rabbi Yochanan v'Rav Ushmuel. This is number four. Reb Huna. So we had number one is Reb Ashi. Number two is Rav. Number three is Rabba. Number four is Reb Huna who received from Reb Rav Ushmuel. Next. Five. Reb Yochanan v'Rav Shmuel, Mirabbeinu HaKadosh. Six, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Mirab Shimon Aviv, Reb Shimon his father. Seven, Reb Shimon, Mirab Gamliel Aviv, from his father, Reb Gamliel. Eight, Reb Gamliel, Mirab Shimon Aviv, from his father, Reb Shimon. Nine, Reb Shimon, Mirab Gamliel HaZaken Aviv, from his father, the elder Reb Gamliel. Ten, Reb Gamliel HaZaken, Mirab Shimon Aviv, Reb Gamliel the elder, from his father, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, Mehillel Aviv V'Shamay. Mehillel Aviv V'Shamay. And Reb Shimon received the Torah from his father Hillel and Hillel's colleague, which is Shammai. Now the Rambam didn't say before Shammai, but he said that Reb Shimon received from Hillel and his Bezdin, and part of the Bezdin was Shammai. So that's why he says here Shammai. So Reb Shimon received from Hillel his father and from Shammai. Number 12, Hillel v'Shammai, Shmaya v'Avtalion. Shmaya v'Avtalion, Yehuda and Shimon. Yehuda v'Shimon, Yeshua ben Prachi v'Nitai Ha'ar Bailey. Shua v'nitai, Yosef ben Yosef, Yosef ben Yoichanan. Yosef ben Yosef, Yosef ben Yoichanan, me Antigonus. 17, Antigonus. Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik me Ezra, v'Ezra me Baruch. Baruch me Yirmiya, v'Yirmiya me Tzvanya, Tzvanya me Chalakik, v'Chalakik me Nochem, v'Nochem me Yel, v'Yel me Michal, Michal me Yishaya, v'Yishaya me Amis, v'Amis me Hesheya, v'Hesheya me Scharya. Number 30, Scharya me Yahayada. Number 31, Hayahayada received me Elisha. Number 32, Elisha me Eliyahu. 33, Eliyahu me Achia, Achia Shiloini, Achia me David, David me Shmuel. Number 36, Shmuel from Eli. Number 37, Eli from Pinchas. Number 38, Pinchas from Yehoshua. Number 39, Yehoshua me Moshe Rabbeinu. Number 40, Moshe Rabbeinu me Pi HaGvura. Moshe Rabbeinu, who did he receive from? Pi HaGvura from the Ribbono Shel Olam, from Hashem. Nimtzu Shekula me Hashem Elokei Yisrael. What does this mean? This means that all of them receive from Hashem, the God of Israel, the God of Israel. If the Mishnah Torah was a comprehensive compendium of halacha, why was Rabbi Yosef's Karo Shulchan Aruch written later? The reason it was written later is for a few reasons. First of all, the Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in the 1500s. The Rambam lived in the 1100s. So you're dealing with a few hundred years later. A lot of new situations, a lot of new circumstances, a lot of new questions, a lot of new dilemmas that had to be addressed. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam very seldom brings debates in his Sefer. He saw all of the arguments, all of the debates, and he established the halacha the way he understood that this is the right halacha. A lot of people, some people took issue with it. There are different perspectives, there's different arguments. Why is the Rambam choosing, right? That's why the Tur, which is the next great major compilation of halacha, that was written in the 1400s by Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim, who was the son of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, the Tur, he wrote a halachic chibur, a halachic composition, and he said that he used three authorities. He used his father, Rabbeinu Asher. He used the Rambam. And he used the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, who also wrote a halachic compilation. before the Rambam. This is Rabbi Yitzchak Afez, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi from Morocco, where the Rambam also lived. Rabbi Yitzchak Afez, who lived before the Rambam. He lived in the 1000s, in the 11th century, and at the end of every Gemara, you'll see the Rif. He took out from that tractate all the halachas. So he said, I took those three, the Rif, the Rambam, and my father, and I saw. If they all agree, great. And if they argue, so I follow the majority. So there were different traditions, not always according to the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, was a Sfardi himself, and he follows very often the path of the Rambam, but it comes after the Tur. So that's why there's a new diversity that comes in into the subsequent compilations of Halacha. And he wrote the Shulchan Aruch also in a language, he wanted it to be Shulchan Aruch, which means a ready table. A ready table, a prepared table, means he wanted that the Jews of his time and subsequent times should be able to come and, you know, take it right off the table. The Rambam includes all of the halachas, even the times of the Beis HaMikdash and the times of Mashiach, etc. So the Shulchan Aruch was written more like a handbook, you know, a ready handbook for the Jews of the time, because there were times to be able to see what to do. But it's a very different genre. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam is a very different genre. The Shulchan Aruch is more like, here is what to do. I'm writing it for today. The Rambam did this compilation of the whole Kol HaTorah Kula. Wasn't the Tur the first one to extract halacha from the Gemara and organize them by topic? No. The Tur is much later than the Rambam. Everybody have a beautiful day. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Mazel tov, shechiyonu v'kimonu v'hivyonu l'zman hazeh, to be able to have the schus to start over the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam.